We are still in our series, Taking Action, A Journey Through the Book of Acts. And this morning, we're actually starting a series within the series. And the reason we're doing that is because summer is approaching. Who's excited for summer? Everybody under the age of 17 is like, yay, no more school! And a little couple of our 20-year-olds are also in that, right? Because their college is taking a break. Woo! Some of you are heading off to camp to work. That's always fun. It's always lots of work. It can be a lot of work. There's always surprises. I spent 3 summers out at camp. I know a little bit about it. Most of it is, let's sow good seeds. But if we're honest, most of camp is just keeping everybody alive. Can we just admit that? Like, it is... Maybe that was just me. I don't know. They're rotating through. Camp is so important. We have learned that sending your kids to camp is actually one of the most powerful things you can do to help them have a faith that endures beyond school. Because while they're with you, it's easy to encourage and instill and create good habits. But after they leave home, they're on their own. Sometimes they don't leave home. But, you know, that's a whole other discussion. But when they're off on their own and the pressures of life are getting to them, one of the things that helps them endure and carry that faith in despite the pressures of life is involvement at camp. And so that's why we're such big advocates of camp and all the goodness that it brings. Some of you, maybe summer, I talk about all the students, our teachers in the house, although I noticed we're missing them today, no school for you, although that has a whole other meaning for you. You're doing prep and all that fun stuff. But still, you're not hanging out at school all day. For some of you, summer means booking your holidays, going on campsites, going on family outings. Some of you, it's work takes a little bit different flavor, not just it's hotter outside. But, you know, you travel with work or you're... Summer just has this way of completely upending the status quo, right? And we get to September and we spend so much of our time trying to get back into rhythm. And one of the interesting things about summer for church is summer tends to be a really challenging time for church. And I'm talking in general. Because what happens is attendance starts to go down, which isn't the end of the world. We get it. You want to have holidays. You want to go and be free and do all the things you don't normally get to do. That's fine. But when attendance drops, our volunteers team diminishes, and we're panicking week to week about how to fill all the roles to pull off Sunday. Giving tends to go down, and Jim tends to lose a lot of hair over summer because, and all of us, all church staff, every church I've ever been a part of, and every church that in existence, we have to approach summer with a different mindset of don't spend unless you absolutely have to because giving is down. The money's not there. And that's not a criticism. I'm not coming like shaming you. I'm just stating a fact because we're family and I can talk about this stuff. And I can tell you the realities of church. One of the awesome things that we have the advantage as one church is over summer, KLBC brings their staff in force. And so it doesn't feel like we're empty when 15 of them show up and they're all, well, some of them are exhausted from a week of camp. Some of them have still got lots of energy and are excited to be here. But I say all of this because summer brings unique challenges. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, one of my great concerns about camp, or about summer, not about camp, about summer, is it's easy to fall out of habit. It's easy to fall out of my rhythms, right? It's easy out at the camper to sleep in a couple extra minutes and be like, I'll read my Bible eventually today, right? It's okay that I skip because I've got 2 chapels today, and I'm going to get lots of the word filled into me. It balances, right? Like, and all of a sudden, we get to the end of summer, and all of those good habits that you've spent all year developing all of a sudden take a lot more extra work because they're not just part of the regular routine anymore. And it's hard because we get to the end of August, and we've slipped up. You've slipped up on some of those disciplines. And September is the kickoff of this new ministry year. And instead of being at our absolute best, when we need you to be at your absolute best, some of us are trying to play catch up at the end of the week. And I was listening. As God was downloading this, I was taking notes. So you should all be taking notes as well. I was trying to decide if this was a message for me and God's just trying to get my attention, or if it was one for all of us. I've concluded that you're all going through this with me together. So for the month of June, what we're going to do is we're going to park on Acts 2, verse 42 in particular, because what Luke records about the early church is there's these four things that the church, all these new believers, devoted themselves to. And as they devoted themselves to it, not only did they get stronger, not only did they grow in their faith, it says that the Lord brought people to be saved daily. So not only were they getting spiritually stronger, the Lord was bringing more and more people who were finding hope and life in Jesus. And can we all agree that's all good stuff? I like that. And that's not the reason I want us to start practicing these four things. Generally, I think if we get into these habits and we start putting these things into practice in our life, we actually become stronger. And I want you to be the strongest spiritually you've ever been. And the even better part about these four things as we dive into it is that there's no program, there's no ministry. I don't need to hire a pastor to oversee these things. These are just things that you can practice in your day-to-day life, and you'll begin to reap a deep benefit from it. Warning, this is not introvert friendly, okay? Some of this stuff is going to require getting out and connecting with people, okay? Sorry, introverts, it's good for you. Kind of, you know, like taking a vitamin, okay? Or eating your vegetables, this will be good for you. Okay, anyways. and this isn't the first time I've done this, by the way. Last year for summer, I introduced to you something called the Summer Press. Pray, read, engrave, sing, share. Pray every day, read every day. Engrave was memorize scripture all summer long. Sing was get in the habit of singing praises to God on a regular basis, because as we talked about, praise has a way of shifting your mental health and actually encouraging and building you up. And share, because we're to be disciples who make disciples. And the way we make disciples is we share what Jesus is doing in our life. We're witnesses of his goodness. We share of the good works. We share what he's sharing with us. And so don't worry, it's not the Summer Press this year. I did not just reuse, recycle. You have a new acronym to remember this year. And we're going to take all of June to unpack it. You're welcome. Okay, with all of that, we are in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, by way of a little bit of context, because it's been a while. Peter preached the message that we looked at last week, and it says 3,000 people responded and were baptized to the message that he spoke. And this is how Luke describes this new church immediately after they are baptized. Acts 2, verse 42. All the believers. What does all mean? That means no one was exception. They all jumped in. Every last 3,120 of them jumped in on this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing meals, and to prayer. These are the four things, and these are going to come up time and time again throughout Acts. Maybe not clearly listed as this, but we're going to see it at work all throughout the book of Acts as this early church is gaining its footing and growing momentum to not just be a small group, but to be a global movement that has changed the course of history for the world. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers, there it is again, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Could you imagine? I don't know, maybe this is just me. Could you imagine our church growing every day? Like, even if it's just one person, after a year, that's 356 new people. Whatever. I took a week off in there, okay? 365. I went to Bible school. I didn't learn math, okay? I went to learn how to study the Word. 365. We don't have room for 365. We need a new church, right? Like, that was, it'd be incredible. It'd be awesome. Or we have to have multiple services. Like, whatever. The Lord added to their number those who are being saved each day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They wanted to be together. I remember, I won't say which church, I was pastoring at a church, and I was talking to a board member, and he flat out told me that he only has enough capacity to spend time with church people on Sunday. The rest of the week, he wanted nothing to do with them. I was like, and you're a board member? What? Pastor's Council, just a news flash, let's not have that mindset, okay? Let's be a little bit better than that. But they wanted to be together. They were at the temple every day. They were worshiping together every day. They looked for opportunities to share a meal together. They wanted to pray together. This is exciting and cool, and one of the reasons that we do small group and barbecues, because we want to create space to be together. But before we get to that, that's next week's message. The first thing they devoted themselves to was the apostles' teaching. And I want to really unpack this. Because this, on one level, this makes sense. The apostles were the 12 who met with Jesus, who sat at the feet of Jesus for 3 years and learned everything he could from his life and from his ministry and from his ability to unpack the word. And so it made sense that these new believers would want to sit under their teaching and glean everything they could from these anointed, empowered people. But it's so much more than that, because the one thing you need to remember is that this book hadn't been written yet. I don't have my phone. They don't have phones to just open the Bible app and pick whatever version they want. There's no versions. There's no New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have not been written yet, and Acts is being lived out as we speak, which means Paul hasn't written any letters. John hasn't seen the end in Revelation. None of it. And so if they want to learn about Jesus, if they want to dive in and become all who God has called them to be, they sit at the feet of the apostles' teaching to understand it. But the other aspect of this is that they're all Jewish. And so they all have a firm understanding of the Old Testament. That was kind of an expectation for them, was to know, know what the Old Testament said, to memorize large portions of it. Some of them who excelled in school would have had the entire Old Testament memorized. Let that sink in. Every time I ask you to memorize a verse, I want you to remember that in the Old Testament, they memorized the entire Old Testament. That's right. Wit's getting started, okay? That's this much of my Bible. All of that memorized. Who's with me? Just kidding. But that's a lot of scripture. Even I start to sweat when I think of that. But because of their understanding of Old Testament, they would have known the emphasis that God puts on making God's word, by extension, not just the apostles' teaching, but all of God's word, a part of their daily life and rhythms. Deuteronomy 6 says this: These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all these decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you. And you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And this is the part I want you to take note of. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God's not only, Moses says, you need to be wholeheartedly committed to this. But this is what wholehearted commitment looks like. You're talking about it all the time. At mealtime, when you get up, you're talking about it. When you're going to bed, you're talking about it. When you're traveling down the road, when you're lying down to rest, it's everywhere, all the time. Can we agree that that's what true commitment looks like? If you're going to commit yourself to something, you're going to get it in front of you in every imaginable way. And remember, they don't have, like, Moses didn't write a scroll for all million Israelites to have in front of them. The only way for them to have the word in front of them was to memorize it. Can we agree that as convenient as the phone is, it's not that convenient to pull it out when you need it the most? Do you know the best way to recall scripture when you need it the most? You memorize it. You talk about it all the time. You get it in front of you. You make it a part of your daily life. I'm going to pick on my wife's family a little bit here. My wife is third generation believer, right? Third generation? Fourth? Third. And her and her siblings have this running gag with their dad about all the sermons he's preached to them throughout their life. And what they mean by that is every time they were being disciplined, or every time they came to for advice, or anything, anytime there was a discussion that was a teachable moment, Phil would find a way to incorporate scripture into that moment every time. And so what Michelle and her siblings started doing was like, okay, here comes sermon number 814 on love, or here comes sermon number 1506 on, right? Like, that was the running gag, and we all laugh, and oh, it's funny. But when you read this, all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's not that funny. Actually, he's actually practicing exactly what Moses told them to practice in Deuteronomy. Everything comes back to scripture. And so it was repeated to them over and over again about how to be good friends and how to follow and how to solve life's problems. And guess what the fruit of all of that is? All three of Phil and Sue's kids still love Jesus years later because they were constantly having the word repeated to them. You need to get it in front of you. You need to be wholeheartedly devoted to it. But Deuteronomy is not the only one that talks about it. Joshua 1:8, God says this to Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Psalm 1, David wrote this, oh, the joys of those who do not follow in the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. This devotion that we read about in Acts 2 isn't a new thing. But all of a sudden, these new believers have the Holy Spirit living within them, and it's not a new commitment. It's a commitment that has new fire. It has new excitement. They have new passion to want to know this God and to know who Jesus is, because the whole Old Testament just talks about Jesus anyways. It's building towards the need for a Savior. It's building towards the need for Jesus to emerge on the scene and change things forever. And so they want to get into it. And so how do we take that level of devotion and wholehearted commitment and make it applicable to today? Well, number one, and yes, I am climbing back up on my soapbox, read the Bible every day. Thank you. You guys are so good. I'm not even coaching you. You're just responding. It makes me so proud. Okay. For those of you that missed last week, I said, we're as part of the sermon is not just you sit down, shut up, and listen, but you actually engage and talk back. It's allowed. You're allowed to do it. It's biblical. We saw it in Acts 2. So please do not be shy. If I say something good, let everyone know it. I know it's good, okay? No, I'm not. I am not that arrogant, okay? I like a little bit of feedback, but it's letting everybody else know that you thought it was a good point. Thanks, Whit. Yeah, I know. I was just... Get into it. Happy are those who meditate on it day and night. You can only then, by meditating on it day and night, only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. We need to get into God's Word, and it's never been easier than now. You don't have to wait to get to the temple. You don't have to wait for me to unpack it for you. Most of us, if we're honest, we probably got 10 of these sitting at home collecting dust. And we don't even read out of the good one that we got. We're probably reading it out of the phone. You do you. We need to be reading the Word daily. And on that note, I just want to say, this is why the 11,000 chapter challenge is so important, trying to get into God's Word every day in whatever capacity you can. But for those of you that struggle with reading, I apologize, I haven't said this before. If you don't enjoy reading or it's a struggle for you, we have this really cool thing called a smartphone, which I'm pretty sure most of you have one. There's an app on there, imagine that, apps on smartphones, called the YouVersion Bible app. And what you can do once you download it is you find the version of the Bible you're reading from, and you can hit play, and it will read it to you. I'm not saying just wake up and hit play. I mean, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. But you should open your Bible and let it read to you and follow along. It's actually proven that the more senses you engage with when you're studying something, it actually gets sunk into your brain even further, which helps you with the memorizing aspect. So maybe we should all be doing it, but for those of us that are like, that's too slow, I just need to read, perfect, that's fine. But the point is, just get into the Word. Maybe instead of turning on the radio, and let's be honest, the radio is all crap anyways. Maybe we turn on the Bible app and let it read the Bible to you as you're driving to work or you're driving to school or you're working in the, whatever it may be. Just get the Word in you, around you. Be committed to it wholeheartedly. Right? I like that you feel the quiet with that. That's good. Okay. Get it in. Okay, I'm jumping off the bandwagon. Number two, make church a priority. I'm going to say this. I've never got so much pushback as I did when I preached the message on Make Church a Priority. If you want to check it out, it's back a few couple months ago on YouTube. I thought it was pretty good. Interestingly, though, do you know who didn't push back at me about that message? Everyone who was at church that Sunday. Anyways, for some reason, everyone who wasn't there felt convicted. Newsflash, if you feel convicted about something that I said, I am not targeting you. As some accused me of. I do not sit at home preparing my sermon thinking like, I sure hope Ryan's listening today. Like, I don't do that. I love you all, but you're not that important, okay? I'm preparing the sermon for everybody, and if God pokes at you a little bit about it, you take it up with him, okay? It's just, anyways, make church a priority. And what I mean by that is not only make sure that you're here on Sunday, but in your travels, as you're vacationing and camping and doing whatever you may be doing, go check out another church. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all all pastors, hopefully, are shepherds of the word and teaching you about Jesus and how hope and salvation are found in him alone. And so go check out what God is speaking to another church. Go check out what another pastor is feeling inspired to speak on. Go see what's happening somewhere else. It's okay. You're allowed to check out other churches. In fact, I encourage it because it's all part of diving into the word. When you read this on your own time, God speaks to you and enlightens new things to you. I agree. But there is another level of being a part of a church where somebody, typically the pastor or whatever they call them, has been inspired, anointed by God, to reveal the word for everybody, not just you specifically. There's times where you need that specific word from God for you in that moment, and those are good. But there's also a value in someone like me standing up and being like, here's what God wants to say to the church. As we are a movement, we're called to be a fellowship and a community of faith. And so as you're traveling, make church a priority. Visit churches. Get plugged in. See what's happening somewhere else. And number three, listen to another church's podcast. I want you to know that we are not exclusive, okay? I'm not jealous. I'm not worried. I encourage you to check out other churches' podcasts and see what other pastors are saying. And I listen to a lot that I don't always agree with, but I can't deny the fact that they have some really amazing things that they're teaching. I shared last week about one about parenting. I don't agree with absolutely everything that particular pastor preaches, but I can't deny that he's very biblically based, that he believes in Jesus, that he wants to see the church grow and expand. And despite what the world tries to tell us, we don't have to agree about everything. We just have to agree about the core things. And the core things are the only way to God is through Jesus. You have to declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have to be reading the Bible. And once we get through all of those things, the rest of it's kind of, it's okay if you don't agree with me. To a degree. Some things, So, I say that. I'm not jealous. I'm not concerned if you're listening to other pastors and letting them feed into you. That's not a concern. My concern sometimes is who you're listening to. Because not everybody is Christ-centered, biblically-based, teaching good stuff. And I said it last week, that one of the great concerns of our day is that there's so many people claiming to be inspired and anointed, and they're teaching some really awful things that tickle our ear and sound good. They're honey to the ear, but they are gross and disgusting, and they don't actually belong amongst God's holy people. I'm not concerned about you listening to other people as long as they're good people to listen to. And so my encouragement is, I really do, I encourage you to listen to other churches, listen to other podcasts, see what other guys are saying. And if something is said that just doesn't quite sit right, find somebody that you trust and respect who's further along on the road and ask them, hey, I heard this. Is this okay? And they'll be like, I think so. Or they'll be like, no, run away, burn those tapes, get away from that, right? Like, they'll be honest with you. This is the benefit of community. This is why we're not expected to live our faith on our own. We come together because in community, we're protected from deception. In community, we're protected from these lies and these things that try to sneak in. In community, we are stronger. We actually are better together. So go check out a podcast. Get into your word. And if the podcast thing isn't really your flavor, fine. Then go back to Deuteronomy 6 and practice one of the things that Moses said. Before you talk about anything in the morning, talk about God's word. As you sit down to eat, talk about something that you read that morning. And if you don't have anything there, maybe read before the meal. Be good incentive to actually get into the word and be thinking about it and ruminating on it. Before you go to bed, turn off TV, talk about God's word. Whatever you got to do, exercise wholehearted commitment to these words so that they get into your life, they transform, renew your mind, renew your heart, and you'll begin to experience the blessing and the growth that God has called you to experience. But it only comes by making this a priority. Read it every day, be devoted to it, commit to it wholeheartedly. And don't just read it. Put it into practice. Find reasons to make it come alive in your life and the life of those around you. If you want to grow this summer, it starts right here by making God's word a priority in all its various forms. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your word. God, I thank you that we can laugh and... Lord, thank you for the example set by the early church of what really are the priorities in life and in faith. And one of the priorities is your word and the teaching of the apostles and your inspired word for correction and for teaching and for building up. God, help us make this a priority. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our hearts and our minds to create in us a hunger for it. God, I pray that you just convict us when we try to open our phone or do something that's not your word. I pray, God, that you would be the loudest voice calling us to be better, calling us to make this a priority in our life. So that by the end of summer, we're not falling back, but we've actually grown closer, we've grown stronger, and we're ready for a new ministry year. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to extend the invitation. If you are here and you have never made a commitment to make Jesus Lord of your life, if Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior, you can read this book all you want, but you need the Holy Spirit in you to help you understand and know what he's saying to you through it. And so if you want that Holy Spirit, if you want that help, if you want to experience new life, then I invite you to let me know, lift your hand and say, yeah, I'm ready today to make that commitment to follow. Maybe it's not that. Maybe you're here and you made that commitment a while ago, but if you're honest, life has kind of gotten in the way and you've wandered a bit and you know that today's the day, it's time to come back. It's time to come back to the Word. It's time to come back to God's Spirit to be empowered and enlightened and ready to take on life that throws at you. If you're ready to recommit to the Lord, I invite you to lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me this morning. I need to do that. Thank you. Thank you. If you're here this morning and you've going through church, you're reading your Bible, but you just feel like something's missing and it's time to grow a little bit closer. It's time to really dive in and experience the power and the joy of that you first had when you that reignite that first love that you had when you first became a believer. If that's you, just give me a wave and say, yeah, I need that reigniting faith in my life. Father, I thank you, God, for the way that you're speaking. I thank you for the way that you're drawing people back to yourself. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill every heart, fill every mind, ignite everybody to just be on fire for you. May that fire create a desire to come and be a part of what's happening at church. May that desire create a fire for your word, to get into it, to consume it, and to find life and hope and joy in it. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts. Do what only you can do. May we just draw closer and closer to you every day. I pray this all in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.